Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam 4:4:4. Got to be auspicious, right? Tam anvagach chandruta vikraman satim ekam trinetra nuchara sahasrashaha saparshada yaksha mahiman madhadayaha Puro Vishedras Tarasagata Vyatha Tam Anvagach Chandruta Vikraman Satim Ekam Trinetra Nuchara Sahasrashaha Saparshada yaksha mahiman madadayaha Puro vishendras tarasagata vyatha Ladies. Her sati anvagachan followed druta vikramam leaving rapidly satim sati ekam alone tri netra of Lord Shiva, who has three eyes. Anuchara, the followers. Sahasrashaha, by thousands. Saparshada yaksha, accompanied by his personal associates and the yakshas. Manimat mada adayaha. Maniman mada, etc. Pura vriksha indraha. Having the Nandi bull in front. Tarasa, swiftly. Gata vyataha, without fear. Translation. When they saw Sati leaving alone very rapidly, thousands of Lord Shiva's disciples headed by Mahiman and Mada quickly followed her with his bull, Nandi, in front, and accompanied by the yakshas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sati was going very fast so that she might not be checked by her husband, but she was immediately followed by many thousands of disciples of Lord Shiva headed by the yakshas, Mahiman, Maniman, and Mada. The word Gatavyata, that's at the end of the sloka, used in this connection means without fear. Sati did not care that she was going alone, therefore she was almost fearless. And the word anuchara, that's ekam trinetra anuchara, is also significant, for it indicates that Lord Shiva's disciples were always ready to sacrifice anything for Lord Shiva. All of them could understand the desire of Lord Shiva, who did not want Sati to go alone. Anuchara means, quote, those who can immediately understand the purpose of their master, unquote. So that's a nice word, anuchara. Druta vikramam. She left very rapidly. Tam anvagachchan druta vikraman satim ekam trinetra nuchara sahasrashaha saparshadayaksha maniman madadayaha puro vishendras tarasa gatavyata. When they saw Sati leaving alone very rapidly, thousands of Lord Shiva's disciples, headed by Maniman and Mada, quickly followed her with his bull Nandi in front and accompanied by the yakshas. Previously, in a very carefully, very expertly presented request, Sati indicated that she didn't want to go alone. She indicated that she wanted to go if it so pleases her husband. Prabhupada indicates what that meant was, what she meant by that was, I don't want to go alone. But here she's going alone. Well, at least she wanted to go alone. Ekam. Ekam means alone. But she, in going alone, it indicated her fearlessness. That's this gata vyatha, gata vyatha, without fear. Because being a nice Vedic example of womanhood, she was reluctant to go alone, particularly to a social function. It's just proper that she would be accompanied by her husband, or improper that she's not accompanied by her husband. You know, modern society is something else, but Vedic society is, in a social function, a woman is accompanied by her husband. And if the husband is unavailable to attend the function, she doesn't attend the function. Or, in this case, she's attending the function with accompaniment. So it was defiance to go. And she didn't want her husband to stop her. This is Prabhupada's indication in the purport. She was going very fast. Druta Vikraman. Very fast. Because she didn't want to be checked by her husband. Fearlessly, she was going alone, very quickly. But without being instructed, please accompany my wife, the followers of Lord Shiva followed his wife, or accompanied his wife. And they didn't just like tag along. Upcoming verses describe what arrangements they had. She was in a great canopy, and she was on top of Nandi, and there was conches and bugles, and it was a royal procession. Really fantastic. She didn't go alone. They even provided her. Then I'll read the next verse because there's no purport. The disciples of Lord Shiva arranged for Sati to be seated on the back of a bull and gave her the bird, which was her pet. They bore a lotus flower, a mirror, and all such paraphernalia for her enjoyment, and covered her with a great canopy, followed by a singing party with drums, conch shells, and bugles. The entire procession was as pompous as a royal parade. Thousands. So it was a big deal. She started to go alone, but the associates of Lord Shiva is indicated here, Tri Netra. Netra indicates eyes, and he had three of them, or has three eyes. And Trinetra Anuchara. Anu means follow, and chara, like, you know, sachara charam. It's those who are moving, and the non-moving living beings, like the verse in Bhagavad Gita. So Anuchara, they were moving very swiftly with her. They were following her. They were accompanying her. And there's two meanings given in the purport for Anuchara. It means that they were going, their purpose was to fulfill the desire of Lord Shiva. And they were ready to sacrifice their lives, to give anything to satisfy the desire of Lord Shiva. And that his desire was that she not go alone, and so they accompanied her. know, it's important what comes later, that they were there when Sati was in, she did what she did, and, you know, they didn't remain silent. They acted. But they were, the word anuchara is significant, for it indicates that Lord Shiva's disciples were always ready to sacrifice anything for Lord Shiva. They were intense followers, not just like kind of cream puff followers. They were very intense followers. And it's also indicated, anuchara means they immediately understood the purpose of their master, quote unquote. He didn't have to raise an eyebrow or think something or say something or instruct them, because they understood what he wanted and they were prepared to do whatever he wanted. Something like the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas. Dutas means the agents of. So those who are the agents, when the Vishnu Dutas encountered the Yama Dutas, they said, you don't stand alone, you're representatives of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj knows perfectly well all the subtleties of Dharma, because he's the Lord of Dharma. So you're representing him, you're obliged to know all the subtleties of Dharma. So we want to give you a Dharma exam. And please answer the following questions. And they asked a whole bunch of questions. And they got some of them right and some of them wrong. So they were duty bound, the Yamadutas, or any agents of someone, they're duty bound to know the wishes of their master. And the wish of Yamaraj is the laws of Dharma are to be upheld. So they need to know the subtleties of Dharma. And because they didn't, they were just dismissed by the Vishnu Dutas. Go back to your master and learn, go, you know, take your lessons again. Go to kindergarten. Learn about Dharma. Because you're supposed to represent him. I'm sure he knows. But you don't know? So, what is the practical application of that one? We should know. We're going to represent, and not just like, you know, the textbook version, but, you know, the spirit. Now, there's like the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So we need to know the letter of the law, but we need to know the spirit of the law to properly represent those who were representing the disciplic succession and Krishna. The Vishnu Dutas, they knew that they knew. And they knew that the others didn't know. But they didn't just like blast them. They first gave them, you know, a hearing. Please describe. What is the principle of duty? Who is to be punished? Who is not to be punished? And are there degrees of punishment based upon the degrees of wrongdoing? Please describe all these things. So the Vishnu Dutas, they were representing Lord Vishnu. They knew the purpose of Lord Vishnu, and we don't hear any indication that either group, the Vishnu Dutas or Yamadutas, were told, okay, Yamadutas, go get him. Or, okay, Vishnu Dutas, they're calling my name, go stop them. They're carrying out their duty because they have an understanding of the wishes of their master. And here the followers of Lord Shiva, they're doing the same. Prabhupada was trying to recall this as exactly as I could, but here's the best I can recall. Maybe Jitendra can help me. The levels of understanding the spiritual master or the master is when there are those that just don't know. There are those that have to hear many, many times and then they can understand, oh, that's important, this is what's wanted. There are others that they're told and they understand this is important and they execute. And there are others, they just know, even without the indication, they know the wish of the master and it's done. Well, there were also, to my experience, circumstances where persons misread what Prabhupada wanted and they went marching down the path of Prabhupada wanted. And then Prabhupada had to bang them on the side of the head to say, you know, wait a minute. It's not what I wanted. Yeah. Okay. Find the verse and show me. So these are my recollection is that Prabhupada said this is first class, where even without indication, the those who can immediately understand the purpose of their master, anticipating or knowing, immediately understanding and knowing the purpose of their master, the purpose is fulfilled. One of Prabhupada's phrases was, do the needful. Because that, like, that's blanket, but that's minus the detail. Just use your common sense and do what's necessary. And doesn't mean like stomp on the heads of anybody that gets in the way. It means do the needful in a proper manner and execute. That's where there's the direct instruction. But the purpose, let's just take, you know, the the purpose of a temple or the purpose of having deities in the temple or the purpose of having cleanliness in the temple or the purpose of, you know, just take something, purpose of having a morning program. Why? Oh, purpose of whatever the basics that we, you know, why do we dress the way that we dress? What's the purpose behind it? Because you don't, this doesn't make up our Krishna consciousness. But what's the purpose behind it? And if the purpose behind something is understood, then it's easy to do that something. And if you don't understand the purpose behind that something, then that's not the best. You could do or not do. You could do, but it's still not the best. What's the purpose? And when the purpose is understood, then it's easy to fulfill. So these are very qualified followers of Lord Shiva. specifically mentioned is that they're yakshas, saparshada yaksha. We know this parshada term from Lord Chaitanya, the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that describes Lord Chaitanya. Who knows that verse? Parshadam. So Parshada, Lord Chaitanya has his associates and Lord Shiva has his associates. Lord Chaitanya's associates are the Panchatattva and the fantastic assembly of Vaishnavas that we find described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata. And here, the Parshadas of Lord Shiva include the Yakshas. Who are the Yakshas? Who can say something about who are the Yakshas? We hear about them. What do we know about the Yakshas? Right? Fourth canto, they're what? Yeah. Yeah. So who are they? They fought with Dhruva. Who are they? There are several things about the Yakshas. They're commonly described as followers of Kuvera. Now who is Kuvera? He's the treasurer of heaven. And Kuvera is an ardent worshipper of Lord Shiva. He's so elevated in his position as a intimate devotee or servant of Lord Shiva that he invited Lord Shiva to reside in his beautiful park, to make his residence, Mount Kailash. Lord Shiva has a number of different residences, and that is one of them. And it's a nice garden park on a mountain that's part of the kingdom of Kuvera. So amongst the followers of Kuvera are the Yakshas. And they're mystical. They have like super mystic powers. And they're Kshatriya-like. You know, we find them in a number of ways having combat. Of course, they have their capital city. When Dhruva wanted to take revenge for the death of his brother, Anupam. Anupam was in the forest on a hunting expedition, and he happened to come across some Yakshas, and the Yakshas killed him. So Dhruva wanted to take revenge. So he went to the capital city of the Yakshas, and when he saw the capital city, it was so opulent. But their place is, at least their spirit, their purpose is their followers of Kuvera, who is an ardent worshipper of Lord Shiva. So in that sense, they're being described here as Parshadas of Lord Shiva. And there are two that are mentioned by name, Maniman and Mada. And then Maniman, Mada, and Adya in the verse. Adya means etc. Adya, others. So, headed by these two, there were thousands of followers of Lord Shiva who were ready to just give their life or whatever was needed in order to fulfill the desire of Lord Shiva. And the desire of Lord Shiva was that, I mean, his higher desire is that Sati not go, but at least that Sati not go alone. Because not only it wasn't proper, but he understood it's not going to be a pleasant scene. And I want her not to be alone in that unpleasant scene. So they accompanied in really royal style. A lotus flower, a mirror, and all types of paraphernalia for her enjoyment, sitting on the back of Nandi, surrounded by a canopy with singers and bugles and trumpeters and conch shells and, whoa, thousands. And she had previously indicated that the distance between where Lord Shiva was residing and where her father had his residence was not so far. So it wasn't like a super long expedition, but a very elaborate one. And the next verse is going to describe the scene of the yajna. Opulent, all the details of everything needed for a proper yajna, because Daksha is Daksha, he's expert. Everything was done perfectly. A big festival, that's why she wanted to go. Big festival. The chanting of mantras and the discussing of spiritual topics. It says they didn't just say discusses, they were arguing. Topics from the Vedas, and the Brahmanas were, it was having a big festival. Until it gets spoiled. Okay. Any comments or questions on the verse? Yes? Sure, there can be foolish fearlessness. Yes, foolish fearlessness. But, you know, in one sense, foolish fearlessness, in another sense, no. She felt protected by her husband. Even she was not obeying him. She felt protected by her husband, which was the case. Anything else? Yes? Sure. It's not just behavior, it's consciousness. The consciousness of being fully in the shelter of Krishna and Krishna's devotees, from our perspective. Fully in the shelter, then that's a position of fearlessness. And the contrast here is she's moved herself outside of that protection, and yet she's still fearless. Still, he's extending his protection because that's Lord Shiva. Yes. Maybe you are. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. So then you can inquire. Is that all right? You have something particular in mind, and I don't know what that is, but I'm just, so you're speaking abstract principle, and I'm responding in principle. Seek clarity. Ask again. Here's two examples from Prabhupada's time. One was, well, it can be like a half hour, 45 minute explanation or a very compact explanation, but I'll give the compact one. We heard the detailed one in New Vrindavan at the Festival of Inspiration, where Devamrita Maharaj and Dravida Prabhu and Ramaswar Prabhu were describing the whole scene of Prabhupada wanting the Chaitanya Charitamrita to be completed in such a short period of time that it was impossible. So I didn't know this before I heard that presentation, but it was coming. Like before Prabhupada got to Los Angeles, he was already in a steamed up mood because they were so far behind, and devotees didn't even know that they were so far behind because the Sanskrit people, the Bengali translators weren't forthcoming, and so they didn't. Anyways, Prabhupada wanted the impossible. And they replied to Prabhupada, "It's not possible." And you know what he said. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And it was like, you know, he wanted it done in the time that he gave them. And the time that he gave them, it's a whole detailed, beautiful description, but, you know, by his Vyasa Puja. And so the final book arrived after his Vyas Puja, the same day. And Prabhupada received the final book and he looked at Deliverer and said, "This is after Vyasa Puja." And then smiled. So, you know, their response was, and this isn't just somebody, this is Srila Prabhupada. It's that, you know, it must be done. Impossible must be done. Or another milder version is, I can very specifically remember Prabhupada had some plan for increasing book distribution. So the number of Back to Godhead magazines that were printed per print run was X, and he was encouraged by hearing the distribution reports. So he made it 4X in 1 month, and then said, "And here's how it should be done. So many sent to Los Angeles, so many sent to New York, so many sent to Boston, so many sent to Montreal. Print 4X. And they were distributed. You know, the first response was not possible. And then it was, you know, we got used to Back to Godhead magazines at a volume that was just like incredible. And then it was Krishna book. Oh, how are we going to show this, you know, big, heavy thing? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to, you know, the people of America. Impossible. Do it." Those are some examples. Or, you know, so many offerings a day for the deities, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How do we do that? You do it. That's how you do it. So, now there may be some examples where there are obstacles or there are circumstances or something so that maintaining or fulfilling a particular instruction is not practical. Like I mentioned the other day that when our head pujari left, Akuntita, she was very concerned that when she left, the standard would go down. So they had Krishna Kshetra come and evaluate the standard, and then it was, you know, written what the standard was. And then as the minister of deity worship gave sanction for a temporary decrease of standard, because it just wasn't possible, wasn't practical, with the intent that the standard would again resume when it was again practical. But so there's an example of, here's our standard and we, you know, it just wasn't practical. So there are circumstances where, here's one, Prabhupada was told, go to the West. And he was thinking, I'm just newly married and I have a child and I'm in college and how do I do this? So he prepared himself and he went. That's another. But the operative principle of spiritual life is the instruction of the spiritual master. Right? And with that instruction comes the capacity to fulfill the instruction. I may want to seek clarification. How to? Is this, do I have it right? I'm not sure how. So it may take some preparation or it may take some further clarification or some, perhaps even some adjustment of the instruction, because there's some particulars that need to be factored in. So a dialogue with the person who's giving some instruction is well worth it. Not to try to, like, you know, manipulate, maneuver the instruction so it's something I'm comfortable with, but seeking clarity and defining the obstacles and my own limitations and so on. But if it's, you know, then somehow it's to be done. Well, it's, you know, Krishna has his plan, and we may have our idea of what Krishna's plan should be, and they may not match. Like, for example, when Prabhupada came to America, it didn't just, like, all the, you know, New York City became Vaikuntha. It was, the obstacles didn't move for a long time. And so what's all that? How does that fit what you just described? It may happen in time or it may happen in a different way. And it doesn't mean the statement that you described is different than the statement I've heard Srila Prabhupada say. The statement I heard Srila Prabhupada say is within the instruction is the capacity to fulfill the instruction. Not the further elaboration that all things inauspicious disappear and all things auspicious appear. Because there's an instruction. Like Lord Chaitanya said, at every town and village the holy name shall be heard. Well, try it. And there's obstacles that don't seem to go away very easily. Even where one is sincerely giving one's utmost ability. Right? Yes, Jai Jagannath. Okay.
Yes.
Explosive, yeah. You ask these how-to questions like, you know, somebody's got a box over here and they're going to just like, here you go. Oh, thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, understanding the purpose of their master. How do we understand the purpose of our master? We can't imitate, you know. Please, let's go. Let's just dwell on that a little bit. It's foolish to imitate, so we don't imitate. It's more than an embarrassment. It's like a disservice to imitate the position of, you know, I know what is the purpose of my master. So it comes by, you know, gradual advancement and purification and the intimacy of the relationship, and one can understand. Some persons are just to have more of a intuitive side to them, and they can understand. They don't have to be told. They just anticipate, and something needs to be done, and they take care of it. Kind of like tuned in to the moment. You know, they're present. They can understand without verbal indication or any other kind of indication. They can just understand because they're present. It's a gift from Super Soul. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam. That's how to. So you work on the first part and the second part comes. And same, you know, the willing to sacrifice anything. Well, I'm willing to sacrifice something, and then you work on sacrificing something and be ready to go further and ready to go further. You hold that value, and I know what's realistic for me, and I want to go further. So I work with what's realistic for me and go further. And whatever that means. You know, it may mean that things aren't so dynamic. Things aren't moving as swiftly as they could be moving. But better that it's, like Prabhupada's statement, better one moon than so many stars. Or a shooting star. Shooting star is very bright. Then gone. Better a moon. Okay. Anything over on this side? Our ladies wish to say something? Yes. Did you catch it? Well, a nice book to begin with is Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna is instructing directly. He's instructing a nice devotee who is bewildered. Sounds like what we'd like to be, a nice devotee, and we're a little bewildered. So that's a nice book to begin with. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.